and then I play this. All right, hello everybody. It's a Fakeologist here. This is Thursday, so that means Frank is here, and we will get on our knees and say a prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in
All right, we don't have time to play the whole thing from Sister Janet Mead. Frank, have you said the Lord's Prayer today?
Many times.
Okay. And have you had a good day because of it?
Well, I've had an excellent day, but I don't know if it's because of it. But the model is that that's the cause, yeah.
All right. Well, wonderful. Excellent. And this is the second week in a row we've done a show. What's up with that?
Well, I'm away for the next 2 weeks, so...
Oh, I knew I heard you say that, so I was kind of worried that this was going to be one of those weeks. So
one of those things, yeah. No, but I'm here.
And we're here. You're
in good faith, as they say.
You're in good faith. Okay, we're streaming live on Twitter, which I just renewed for another month. We'll try it another month. We're on DLive. We're on YouTube. We left yesterday's show up on YouTube, even though it was full of fakery talk. I know I'm pushing my luck, seeing if YouTube is still in a censorious mood. So thank you for moderator Lost Spider Phallus for letting me know I left last night's show up. I did it on purpose because I'm getting reports that YouTube is less censorious. I'm going to change the show caption right now. It's still got last night's fill residue, so I'm going to fix that as we speak. There we go. You're not fake nukes, Phil. You're Frank the Salt Guy. Frank, how's your week been?
It's just been great. Yeah, really wonderful week.
Wonderful.
Astonishing.
Okay, we'll get the details in one sec. I'm just loading up the FakoTube page because when I go to FakoTube, I have to open up the chat. So once I go over here, and as you know, FakoTube has its own chat. And so I click on the live stream, as you probably would do. And then we have the chat on the right. And then I can open that chat in a new tab, as you can see there, which is what I'm doing right now. So there's tonight's FakoTube chat. And there doesn't look like anyone's in it. So I'm wondering if... is there any chance FakoTube has outlived its usefulness? Does anyone still go there? We really have not crossed the 3,000 views a day threshold. We kind of went up to 3,000. And why do we have autoplay? We don't want autoplay on our Yandex browser. How dare you? Anyway, autoplay off. Sorry about that. That's the closeout music. We're not closing yet, Frank. Don't worry. Anyway, so I'm just curious, are you still going to FakoTube, Frank? Do you think it's still useful?
I go to FakoTube. I like it.
Okay. Are you experiencing censorship on YouTube at all?
Yes. Okay. I'm not personally experiencing any. I don't put any YouTubes up, really.
Okay.
Well, I'm not a content creator at all.
Well, the question I'm really asking you then is, are videos that you think might be controversial still online is the question.
Well, I know that people are being the guys that I look at get wiped out, sent to jail still.
YouTube.
So anyone talking about the millennial kingdom or, you know, this kind of weird, more weird stuff, it seems to be the people that are being sent to purgatory. For example, Noel Hadley, mm-hmm. who runs a site literally discussing the, you know, what we call the thousand years of Christ's reign and the fact that all that has probably happened.
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting that those particular topics can trigger a a ban?
Okay, let me ask you this question here, because I'm now looking. I'm going to do a test. I'm going to go look for September clues.
Yeah.
And see if it's online, because that one gets deleted quite a bit. And TV Fakery, watch September clues. I don't know if this, what is going on here. I don't see it yet. I don't know what this TV Fakery guy is doing. 9/11 Network seems to have flooded the search, which is a technique to block you from finding September clues. So it looks like somebody called 9/11 Network is flooding the search. So what happens when you click on his September clues link? Well, this is from 15 years ago. Wow. So maybe this guy's trying to help. Or maybe not.
No, if it's from 15 years ago, there won't be any no plane stuff, or there won't be.
Well, that didn't help find September clues. Okay.
But I'm talking about that. You're talking that particular thing is 15 years old. Why would YouTube be promoting a 15-year-old video?
I don't know. So here's another thing here.
Must be rubbish. September
clues 45 minutes. So that's just the music. So that doesn't work. Okay. Let me just type in September Clues documentary. I'm only trying to determine whether they're taking it down off YouTube. That's the point of this. And it doesn't look like it's coming up. And why is it relevant? Well, because guess what day it is? August 15th. 9/11 is within the month.
Mm.
So I don't see it. So maybe they still are censoring. At least on my search. You want to try on your end and see if you can search for it?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll just go into Google.
Yeah, you can go to Google. Google.
I'll try it from YouTube.
Yeah. I don't really have a topic tonight. I just want to have a chat with Frank because we can fill an hour easily. We have a lot to talk about. Just non-topical stuff. I do want to tell.
So I've got September Clues has appeared under the Bilderberg Group.
Yeah.
So let me have a look at that. 5:44.
Okay. You can share your screen. I can take a look at it.
What's that?
Bullion says, I don't use FakoTube because it doesn't have picture-in-picture. Yeah, I know what you mean. So you can't play it in the background. Well
you can. Yeah, now hang on. That's not true. So if you use the Brave browser, you can.
That is what I was going to say next. Excellent tip. So you can use the Brave browser. And the Brave browser is on Android, and it's on Apple, and it's on your Windows and probably on Mac. And yes, you can play it in the background on your phone.
And you have to. There is a setting when you get to Brave. You do have to put on a setting to play in the background.
Right. So there you go. So that works for actually BitChute as well, I believe, too. Any video can play in the background. So that's on the Brave browser. It's a Chromium-based browser. And so Frank, you can share your screen if you want. And also for all you guys listening on the audio stream tonight at shortfake.com/stream1. If you go to shortfake.com/chat, you can go to our browser or our chat window. And here we go here. Oh, hold on a sec.
So that just has shown that someone called the Bilderberg Group has done something called September Clues. It's only a 5:44 video.
You want to play it a bit? Because I don't think that's probably not the.
It's not it, obviously. September closes a couple of hours, isn't it?
An hour and a half.
It's a record. Conspiracy theory sells. So there you go.
Yeah. But what is the point of all this?
It's
the
just
point to, is that they have taken the name September Clues, and they don't get deleted because it's not the movie. But it, what it does is it stops the search results. It plugs the search results. It diffuses the search results. It obscures it. It misdirects. I guess that's the best word. Misdirection.
Well, like you can't get to it. That's lost.
And if you heard about it but don't know what it is, you'll get stuck on this and you'll think, oh, that's nothing, and you'll give up. That's how most of it works. Okay.
And then there is, of course, you had Tim Truth talking about the artificial intelligence network to create, to program us. We're playing a game of chess against an AI.
Okay, I don't buy into that, but
that was the thing that you published, the Tim Truth discussion on this topic.
I did.
You did.
Where?
Yeah, where did I put it? I got sent an article from your website. Let me check it out.
It was the Tim Truth thing.
Yeah, Tim Truth. Hijacked Minds: How Social Media is Weaponizing Machine Learning to Rewire Everyone's Brain.
I sent that to you?
Oh, I beg your pardon. That was from Tim Truth.
Yeah, I'm not Tim Truth. I'm Tim Fakery. Okay. I thought you were gaslighting me.
It was immediately above. It's actually a very good article, so I should put that link in, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Let me do that. I thought it was very good.
Okay. Okay, so if you go to shortfake.com/chat, you will get to our window over here. If I can just blow it up. And this is our chat. Now, unfortunately, what do you see in this chat?
Someone spamming.
Yeah, I'll give you one guess who that is.
You'll give me a guess who it is.
I'll let you guess. One guess. Who spams the Fakeologist site?
No.
And they've been banned off all the different Fakeologist platforms. And now
are we talking about Dave J?
No, he's not a spammer. We got a caller inner, by the
way. Hold time, 18 seconds.
Hello, caller inner. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
Hi, this is Jay from Texas.
Jay from Texas. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thank you.
Jay, have you called before?
No, not into this show, no.
Okay.
Can you get a little closer to the mic? Because I've got you on full boost and I still have trouble hearing. Because I know you're on a speakerphone, so the closer you get, the better.
Let me take off these headphones and try to go use the regular.
All right. We have a new caller in, or Frank. But Frank, have you made a guess yet on the chat?
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hello?
Is it 01?
No.
No, well, I don't.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jay from Texas. How's it going tonight? How did you find this show? How'd you find the site? What's going on, buddy?
I found you through another person, the fake nukes guy, and Lynn.
Lynn, okay.
I saw them on your show, and they were talking about some real interesting stuff about how the narratives are kind of not how they're saying it, which it is kind of right. I mean, I just called in. I just heard y'all talk about AI and that whole stuff, trying to predict our what we're gonna do next.
Yeah. So I've posted a link there, Tim.
Yes.
And Tim Truth, as I said, put together that YouTube video on, you know, essentially the Skinner box and how we are up against.
Hi, everybody. In this series of special reports, we're going to be talking about dark psychology and modern day mind control and how people can be tricked into doing something that's against their self-interests.
Okay. So, Frank, you say I should watch this?
Yeah, I think it's.
I wanted to talk about that. That came because in China they have that social credit score, which is basically all that that you're talking about, just in a more refined form.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like they got all the hiccups out of it, all like, you know, and then they've refined it and they've centralized it.
Okay. Yeah.
And yeah, that's basically, they can't do that here because it would look, I mean, they kind of have it with like a credit card system, but it's not like a, like it doesn't every day, like it doesn't like, you know how they have QR codes on everything in China from knives to even, especially like anything that's dangerous over there. If you want to buy like a knife or a blade, you have to get that literally, like not traced to your own ID,
yeah,
like a car.
I'm not sure like, that's true. I have no way of knowing that. That sounds interesting.
Well, no, they, yeah, it's hard to in China, but you know, in Britain, they've already banned knives.
They have
already.
When did they ban knives? How do you cut your steak?
Well, no, what I'm trying to say is, they're trying to say that you can't have a like you can't have a knife outside unless you're like you know what I'm trying to say. Like you're carrying a pocket knife. They say, oh, what you're doing with this? And then you could be charged with illegally holding a, it's like in the U.S. how in the.
I don't know. We have a lot of UK people on this channel. If someone wants to chime in, that doesn't sound right either. Hold on. Ed Kiley in the YouTube chat says, I discovered the Fakeologist website on the front page of the Drudge Report. See, I don't believe that either. So send me a screenshot. That's funny. I don't think so. Not the Fakeologist. That would be hilarious. Do I have to go to the
I have to say that the the stuff about China and its social credit score is really to blindside people to what the control that we are under here, that we are battling a supercomputer driven mind control weapon that looks at everything that we're interested in, what we click on, everything.
But I don't doubt that that's the end result that they want to do, right? Is figure out what all of us are thinking at once.
Well, and I think that's happened. It's already done.
Ed Kiley is just clowning. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Well, you made me go look just in case. So that's funny.
I was real interested about that one show that Lynn was on talking about the gun.
She said that the AI doesn't understand irony. I think was her. Well, I thought was a very powerful comment.
Yeah, but and I do like Lynn. Lynn is super smart.
That is different. But
I don't think they care if it's irony or not. That's what I don't think. I think the whole point is to overreact to any situation so we don't try to even think about that situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if you say something on Facebook and you just post like a weapon, but you don't even have the weapon, they'll go to your house and they'll go pick you up. So it's like this huge overreaction. So you don't even
You're talking about pre-crime, and I don't think any of the arrests in England are real. I think that's all just fear porn.
Do you think the idea of it, of them trying to scare people, is a legitimate?
I think that's
thing
all
that
they do.
To.
That's all the propagandists do. They just try and scare the hell out of you out of something, so you don't do it. I agree.
That's why they're focusing on AI because
based on deception.
If they can get if they could refine the robots and drones and program the AI into that, then they don't need like police and actual humans.
I agree with that. And I'll give you a real world example. They really have a problem in every country where there are cars with speeders, and having cops out and just doesn't work. So, but what does work are speed cameras. They actually work because I drive all over the place. And now, wherever there's a camera, these people go under the limit. It's crazy. So it's actually dangerous that they slow down so much. But
it's wild.
But that is, people are afraid of a fine because AI, a camera is just a camera. It takes a picture of your license plate. It doesn't know who's driving. So whoever owns the car, whoever owns the plate, rather, gets the ticket. So that does work. So automation, I think that there'll be automation everywhere. So you won't be able to argue with anybody. You're just going to have a fine. And that's what the administrative state, the technocratic state is all about. It's just a system.
Except just remember, certainly for Australian listeners anyway, but yeah, with regard to what Tim's saying, mm-hmm, is that it is unlawful to have to pay any fines without a trial. So
how long do you think that they will take to refine the technology? You said they have those speed cameras everywhere to detect which individual car is driving at which speed, right?
That's right. Yeah, they work. I'm just giving you an example of how they work. That's one thing automated that works.
And they've got the same thing in Australia now. They've introduced cameras that tell if you're on your mobile phone, and they are finding people.
Yeah.
Wait, they have that good of resolution?
Yeah.
Have you seen the resolution of a camera phone?
Yeah, I've seen it, but what I'm trying to say is,
when I'm watching people's videos on YouTube, I can see down their pores. It's crazy, the resolution today.
Unless they're videoing an assassination attempt, of course.
Yeah,
in which case it's very blurry.
Do you think they could refine the AI to pick up every little thing? Like the way they could tell.
Okay, don't use the word AI, because it doesn't mean anything. Well, AI stands for artificial intelligence. That implies that a computer can make its own decisions. A computer just does what you tell it to do. If you say look for a guy holding a phone, it's going to look for someone holding the phone. It's not intelligent.
Do you think they could refine it to where they could pick up on your tells in the way your eyes or facial movement works? Even though how they try to say it's in China, which it's probably not really, but do you think they could refine it to that point? Or do you think that's way off in the distant future?
Well,
I think it's already happening.
I learned today or yesterday when I'm doing some of my investing research. There was a guy talking about NVIDIA. Most people that invest hopefully bought some NVIDIA in the last couple of years instead of crypto, because it's gone up 40 or 50 times. But anyway, the reason why they're successful is some of their chips have increased the efficiencies of chips by a million times, which I find really hard to believe. But what he said was, instead of building an entire data warehouse to do all the processing on just all the data, because most data warehouses are very big, they're very a lot of material required to build them.
Cumbersome. Well,
they're just huge. They're huge buildings, but they're being built everywhere. If you drive around major cities in North America, that's besides old age homes, they're building data centers. So they're just archiving and saving all the data for whatever use it could be now and in the future. But anyway, the NVIDIA chip apparently is a million times more efficient than, say, a chip from, I don't know, 5 years ago. So what that means is, instead of having 500 computers daisy chained all together, you might need half a computer. And therefore, you don't need as much power, as much air conditioning, as much concrete, as much cabling. So it's a real money saver. And he said all successful businesses are based on saving tons of money with an innovation, like a smartphone, because a smartphone gets rid of cameras, it gets rid of GPS. So all the camera companies, Kodak went out of business pretty much. Garmin made GPSs, they're out of business. So because it's all in a phone now. So all the phone companies.
It's all condensed down to one company, basically.
It's down to one device. So that's what NVIDIA does. So that's why the big data companies like Microsoft and Oracle and all these companies use NVIDIA chips, because they don't have to build a huge data center now, because they can just use one NVIDIA chip. So my point is that, with that kind of horsepower combing through data and looking for patterns, and by the way, pattern recognizers are what fakeologists are. I've said that in the last week. We can recognize patterns, and that makes us in the top 5% of intelligent people. But that's what these chips can do, because they can just comb through data at super high speeds and find patterns and maybe look for patterns that indicate someone's on their phone, for instance, while they're driving, that kind of thing. So,
do you think that's what this whole? Because you said crypto, right? Do you think that's what this whole like? Because
I think crypto
when they were talking about crypto, it was like they were trying to brand it as some type of money and anything. But when you look at what it really is, could it be one of just those like petri dish testing things, so they could just, like you said, try to build more horsepower, try to refine it, try to see what works, so they could get more horse. Because all what it is, like what is those cryptos? They put a bunch of service together to compute a lot of complicated problems to make something, right? Supposedly that's what they say.
Well, yeah, they have to make it so you can't just generate a crypto unit immediately. They have to make it hard because otherwise you could just make them all at once and not cost any money, so their value would be nothing. That's the only reason why they have mining. It's just to create a problem that's so hard to solve. But yeah, I guess if you started mining with an NVIDIA chip, which I guess is what they are doing, you could probably mine a lot faster. So
that's what I'm saying. Like they try to label it as some type of investment, but I think that is the curtain. You know what I mean? Because if you label it as an investment, then everybody will get into this type of technology and then help them do the testing for them. You know what I mean? Help them figure out how to.
It's like any other technology. If people don't want to use it, it won't have any value. So the beta recording tape was a better quality. It was smaller, but people didn't take to it for whatever reason, and it failed. And we have the bigger, clunkier, less resolution VHS tape. I think it's hard to predict the market, because it's really hard in a lot of ways to determine what people are going to start using. And lots of companies. So I don't know. There are lots of cryptocurrencies. My conclusion now, after a couple of years of playing with them and dabbling, is that they're a massive distraction. So while you're plowing all your money into being a currency speculator, and currency doesn't pay dividends, it doesn't appreciate in a linear fashion. It just goes up and down. That's just how currencies work in general. You've got all your money parked over there. They're making out like bandits in real companies in real stock markets. So
yeah, it's like a time waster to I think build the technology, because China.
I don't think it's a time waster, but I think that the average person should not speculate in currency. If you really want to be a currency trader, use real currencies that are out there. You can play the Japanese yen, the Swiss franc. There's all kinds of real currencies that have been traded for decades.
Well, no, that's what I'm trying to say. It's like what I think crypto is just an economic attack, because
it's a time waster.
ByteDance is the biggest cryptocurrency, but they're Chinese, and they were holding FTX's coins, which is the American cryptocurrency, right? So they.
I don't know if that's right. And ByteDance, as far as I know, owns or allegedly owns TikTok. So I don't.
What I'm trying to say is that they had a crypto. What I'm trying to say is basically the Chinese don't let their people invest in the cryptos.
They
banned the mining over there, but they let them. They invest them, but only if they're selling them to us.
I don't know any of that.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard to understand this economic attack, because, like you said,
I don't think we're under attack. Well, how are we being attacked?
Well, because like you said, you put your money into this currency, quote unquote, currency special. And that's what I said.
I don't think anyone except rich people with nothing better to do should speculate in any kind of currency.
Yeah, but that's not who was doing it. A lot of regular people.
I know, because it's sexy and it's interesting. And they're lured in by fast bucks. It's just a con art. It's just a con game. If you want to invest in something, go find a company where you plow your money every day to. And most people buy gas. Most people buy food. And those are just some basic investment strategies that don't take really any kind of level of brain power. But no one should be speculating in any kind of currency, whether it be the Swiss franc or Ethereum or, you know, even the Canadian dollar, which doesn't really move very much, but you probably wouldn't make any money trading that. But my point is that the average person should just stay away.
Yeah, you shouldn't invest without doing your research. You're perfectly right.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, because China, it has a communist government, and we in the West have a more individual, free thinking government.
Well, I don't know if China is really a communist government. I beg to differ on that point too. You're making a lot of statements that I'm disagreeing with. China's not a communist country.
Well, it's the innovation is what I'm trying to get at. Like, where is more innovation? And this is why they focus cryptocurrency on like money, because when you put money in somebody's face, their innovation capacity, if they are driven to get more money, their innovation capacity will go through the roof. They'll be like, okay, let's go do this. Let's go do this. How can you do this? How can we do this?
So if I could just make a comment, generally speaking, if I was to invest in any currency, I would invest obviously in the Chinese currency or the Russian currency or a BRICS country. But we can't buy those currencies.
Well, you can. You can.
You can.
You can. You can set up an account in a with a mercantile broker anywhere in the world and buy their currency if you really want. Sure, you can.
I didn't know that. Well, there you go. I've learned a lot.
You can set up a currency account, but just like any other currency, they don't pay dividends. You're only betting that their currency will become stronger versus whatever currency you use to buy groceries.
Yeah.
Because ultimately you use a currency to buy things that you need or invest in. And so again, I kind of said the same thing. I wanted to invest in the Mexican peso.
Yep.
But, you know, you have to decide, is investing in a currency better than buying Microsoft? And the answer is probably no, because currency.
Well, it's interesting you bring Microsoft up, because a fellow that I was listening to the other day is suggesting that Microsoft's share price is not going to rise, but its profitability is going to continue to increase.
Okay, so they're going to pay more dividends then?
More dividends, yeah, but you won't see the share price increase. So that was kind of interesting.
Well, I think
Microsoft the biggest?
I think he's full
computer?
Of it.
Microsoft
seller of personal computers and work computers?
They don't sell computers; they sell software. And they sell data. Cloud services. All the money's in cloud services. I started backing up some of my data to a cloud service, and I didn't really read it closely. And I got a couple bills that blew my mind. So then I thought, okay, I really should. Because I didn't think I had that much data to back up, and I didn't really do the math. And I got a couple $100 bills, and I thought, whoa. So I better turn this off. I'll go buy a drive and back up my stuff. So point is, it's a big business.
Yeah.
It's a very big business, data backup. So anyway,
it was really more to make the point, Tim, that what you're saying about investing in real companies and real assets.
Yeah, you should.
What I did, I was wasting
a lot of time investing and buying, switching Canadian dollars into Bitcoin and then buying some crypto like Epic Cash. It was quite a procedure because a lot of these markets are just private markets. You don't know really who's administering them. It was a lot of work. I was burning a lot of hours, and I thought, wow, I should pay attention to my own real portfolio with this kind of effort so I can actually make real money that I can actually use and stop speculating. So I've been doing that actually in the last couple months and just learning the markets. And now I'm playing the dividend game.
Yes.
Where I can chase dividends, and there's website. There's so much data out there that you can use now.
Yep.
It's all money, right? It's all to help get more money, right? And that's what going back to the crypto technology is, they used it to, because like I said, if you could label a technology as something to where it could get people to do free research on it, with them, that's what I'm saying. Going like you go back to that technology of really what really was it meant to do? Like, was it meant to help do more predictions as we are trying to invest and get more
everyone
stuff
should
give them the pattern?
We have so much technology at our fingertips, and we're wasting time on forums and in social media. We have so much research power right at our computers at super high speed that 10 or 20 years ago, if you were an investor, they could only dream of getting it. And all this information would have been would have cost a lot of money to access because it would have been hard for the companies to present it. But now there's an infinite number of websites giving all kinds of info. You just have to find these sites and use the information in your own brain to make sense of it. But you have access to more information than anyone else in the history of the world right now. And if you're distracted with nonsense, you'll never see past, well, these guys are making all like bandits, then you could be doing the same thing, because we all have access to at any place at any time in the world. You could do this from the...
Just to back you up on that, an example is... Yeah. Searching for companies that pay 15%.
Right.
We were doing that yesterday.
You were doing it? I was doing it too.
So we just got on the web, and you know, we were able to within a very short time, you know, pick out 5, 6, 7 companies.
Okay, here's a website I just found the other day, because I thought, wait a second. I don't know most companies. Most companies I've never heard of because I'm not.
So let me just go a bit step further. It's not just that dividend. Then you look at you get access to their financials. So we were looking at how much debt they'd repaid. They were going to pay a dividend. And we quickly found out how many shares they had, and we could calculate what the effect of this dividend payment was going to be. And you could work out fairly quickly that the companies were robust or just fiddling with the books. But there are a lot, as you say, a lot of these larger companies.
Well, look at my screen right now.
Yep.
Now, this is a website. I just found it. I don't know if I was actually using it today because there's quite a few of them. But this is a great way to make money. Now, this the first one. So tomorrow is August 16th. And I believe that means that these are ex-dividend dates, which means that if you own the share the day before the ex-dividend date, then you will get the dividend whenever it pays, which is usually within a month of the ex-dividend date. So, for instance, if you bought Walmart today, now their dividend yield is only 1.17%, so that's 21 cents because the stock, I believe, is 40 bucks or so. So that maybe represents 1%. So the payout ratio, it says here, is 20%. I'm not exactly sure what that number is, but the point is...
Well, it means that of their, you know, if they make a profit, they'll pay out 20% of that profit.
Oh, okay.
Of that cash flow, usually.
Right. So these are really important things for the average person to learn. Now, I know this has nothing to do with fakeology, but on the other hand,
I don't agree. This is fakeology because the reality is that what we're talking about is the fact that people are being flooded with distractions,
right?
And so they're just taking their time away from the powerful tool that they have in front of them, as you're talking about.
Yes,
to do research. I mean, it's the same for my business,
right?
We have, you know, my business is two people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, generating a lot of revenue,
yeah,
simply by using technology that was not available when I started as an engineer. For example,
oh, interesting.
For example, you can now get buy for $20 a motor that I can plug into the mains,
mm-hmm,
and it will turn at 6 RPM at very high torque and drive powerful equipment. And that's happened because of the superconducting magnets. You know, okay, the yttrium magnets and so on. And we also have these little chips called Arduinos, which are programmable chips that run stepper motors and so on. And, you know, we program those ourselves. When I started as an engineer in the 80s, early 80s, these machines to turn something 6 RPM, you'd pay 8,000 or 9,000 of that time's money.
Wow.
You know, real money. You could buy a house then for that kind of money. It was just...
It's like this... Oh, sorry, go on.
And so what people don't realize is that you can... You know, if you're not spending your whole time on social media, you can do some pretty amazing things with the technology at our hands now. And yeah. In my case, build a factory, which used to take 20 or 30 people to run.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this one story I read. It was like the technology it took to make the first toy store cost like $3 to $4 million, and you can get that technology now for basically free.
Yeah.
It's wild. That's why, like, going back to that technology, the technology helps you gather all the data and sift through it fast. And it makes me, because, like, Lynn made a point during one of the episodes with the Trump shooting. She was talking about red flag laws.
All right. Pretty good. Do you think
that with all the data they have gathered, with all these things, that they could? Is that even legal? Like, can they make up?
No, it's not. Present. It's not. They cannot create any law that is contrary to the Second Amendment. But they'll do it anyway. And then,
well, not contrary to the Second Amendment, just contrary to like speech in general. Like, oh, you said this 10 years ago, and now we've labeled it this.
They cannot do any of that. But
now, remember, they can make the law.
But
of course, they can.
Yeah, they. What I'm saying is, they can make the law, but they know that no one is going to challenge it. And if they do, it'll take a long time and the effect will have been made. So that's the point. So they know the law, they know the Constitution, but they put it through anyway because they can use lawfare to drag it out forever, bankrupt any opponent unless it's really organized. And the effect will have been made. The perception of it being a real law will have been made. And it's the same as having made an actual legal law. And then you could go down that rabbit trail. Are any laws legal? And of course the answer is probably no, but it doesn't matter because no one's challenging it.
Remind me to come back to a topic of a very recent video I saw about a Canadian man who his child died of meningitis. Oh, sorry, got meningitis. And at this stage, it seems the treatment he received in the hospital, by the ambulance and various things that occurred caused the death of the child. And this guy has been through.
That's the guy in
years.
Alberta.
That's the one. Yeah.
I was going to interview him, but I lost track of that story.
Okay. Well, I'll put you back onto it because he would be terrific to interview.
Yeah. I have to update myself on that story.
And it was a lawfare situation.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
Okay, that's sad.
Hey, we got a lot of viewers tonight. More than half are on Twitter. So thanks everyone on Twitter. Anyone on Twitter, type a message in so we know you're there, because Twitter is a very interesting company to say the least. More people on Twitter than on YouTube.
So hey, fakeologist. Thank you for taking my phone call. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well,
thanks for calling in. It's great.
You got us stimulated. We like that.
What was your impression of the call? Did you feel that you were listened to or talked over? Or
no, it was good back and forth. I liked it. It was very, very, very nice, very, very pleasant. Yeah, very, very professional. Nice.
Oh, thank you. Well, call again for sure. I appreciate you calling. Yeah, I do. I know I talk over people, so I apologize if you.
No,
don't.
You've answered all my questions.
We certainly get accused of all that sort of stuff. Anyway,
I really don't have answers. They're just really opinions. So if you like them, the opinions, keep listening.
And the issue for me is that this show in particular, I'm really trying to encourage people to call in because I just think that's more valuable than
it's more interesting because
just sprouting off. Because really, I mean, I guess I've made up my mind mostly about what I think's reality and what's not. And it's
yeah, me too.
And it's kind of
I heard you talking about the AI topic, and I had to call in because I wanted to
see
what you thought about the whole crypto thing and how, because you were saying about the mind control and they use money as their main motivation to make us do things that.
Well, so let me tie it into a Tim Truth thing. So Tim Truth really talks about the way that they have been able to get people to gamble. And as far as I'm concerned, cryptocurrency and so on is strictly gambling.
Yeah, it's a gamble right now for sure.
It's like how those game developers, they don't fix, they don't, their game isn't perfect, right? It has bugs, but yet the players are doing, they're fixing for them while playing the game.
Yeah, exactly. That's any product.
But what the idea is that through this idea of, you know, you're really sticking up the government by buying crypto, you end up with this situation that they've been able to haul in a whole bunch of people who should have been doing what Ab is talking about, which is using the computing power to do some proper investing. And, you know, if let's say that this crypto thing started off, in my experience, about 2007, 2006 with a particular fellow that uses spiders to crawl through and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, off he went. And next thing you know, that's all happening and people are being drawn away. It was a way to stick it up the government and all that sort of stuff. But in the end, what Tim is saying is that it has taken people away from just steady investment in shares that would have been brilliant.
Of real companies that are making real money, and they are continue to make real
running money. Their own superannuation schemes, the sort of things that
that's really what I'm gonna do when I slowly retire, is just try and manage my money actively. Because if you give it to someone like BlackRock, Vanguard, or State Street, they take about 1-2% right off the top every year for doing nothing. Well, for managing your money, so you're already losing out of the gate because they're managing it.
Well, if I might say that my view is that one of the problems of the larger things is that you'll hear these manufactured stories about such and such a company. This has been a disaster for them, blah, blah, blah. And so it moves
the market.
The publicly invested shit, you know, the guys that invest for the public, or they end up selling the shares out. And of course the buyers are the people in the know, usually the Swiss banks and so on. And so companies like BHP have moved from, you know, a very large percentage owned by everyday Australians through the superannuation funds to a very low level.
Yeah, and that's
of ownership in those larger funds, even though you would have said BHP has been one of the most incredible performing.
And one of the problems is when you give all your money to BlackRock, or when people give up their sovereignty. Well,
they're not giving it up to BlackRock. It's their company says, "Oh, we've got this investment fund, and we'll superannuate you."
No, but they're giving up control of their money to another company. That's what I'm saying. Not giving them the money; they're giving up the control because they think they're the experts. And one of the problems when you are a big lumbering fund, you can't make a move without everyone noticing. So it's also like steering a ship. You cannot be adept. You cannot just go buy a huge position because you have so much money and not be noticed. And you will create your own wake, like a big boat. When it starts sinking or turning, it creates a huge wake and causes its own problems. So it's not adept. So if you have any kind of brain power, switch it off from cryptocurrencies and start looking at this. This is just one strategy out of a million, but now this information is out there, and this is what I've been spending time. That's why you haven't seen as many posts, because I'm finding names of companies I never even heard of. And you just, if you want to just try to figure out how to sort them, you can sort them by dividend. And this is just the dividends for next week. And I can go right to the bottom and find out that Icon Enterprises has a yield of 25%. I don't even know what Icon Enterprises is. So you can click on this and you can read, you know, this, you can read all you want to know about it. It's just kind of really, it's just fascinating. But,
and you can own your own share trading accounts. People need
of
to know.
Course.
You
know, everyone you should know what do
also,
it.
You know what also crypto has done besides, you know, put capital into random places?
Yeah,
it has brought people who wouldn't have put their capital in any organization into the system. because before crypto came out, everybody was talking about, I think, precious metals or staying out of the system altogether. And then when crypto came out, it was like this thing, like you said, oh, we're going to stick it to the government and they don't know it. And now people who would have never put their extra money into a system type of a thing put their money into that. And it's just like how, you know, I remember when even with this political candidate, they're telling everybody to vote. And you have all these people who would have never voted. And then when
I'm voting blue party, I'm voting red. Well, everyone's got a choice.
Yeah, but before all this, before like everybody was talking about staying out of the system.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about that in 2007, 2008. Nah, let's stay out of the system. We don't need to be in there. Let's not put our money. And then all of a sudden, these new technologies started coming out to get people in and to get all their energy focused on basically helping them do experiments on their technology.
Yeah, I think we have to invoke esoteric Rick and his view that, you know, it's called crypto for a reason.
Well, it's called crypto because it's cryptography in order mine it. That's what it is.
That's what they say. Rick's view is it's called crypto because it has it's the coin that goes in the mouth of the guy that crossed the river Styx.
You can make all kinds of different ideas.
But that is like when they say mining, they're trying to say like you're mining precious metals. They're trying to get away from that, because mining, when you think about mining, what do you do when you mine? That's hard work. You're getting something. You're smashing rocks.
That's right. Mining is work. I know. They're trying. It's digital mining. They're just trying to.
But it's not. It's not. There's no.
Well, no. It is work. It's computer cycles, and that they just don't want to make it so you can make all the units of the crypto overnight. They want to make it so it's difficult, and people being people find ways to mine more quickly and more efficiently and more cheaply. That's just is harnessing people's ingenuity, and that's what ends up happening.
It's harnessing their ingenuity. Their innovation, and it's also harnessing all the energy that would be used to power factories.
Oh no, I energy is infinite. They just control the energy.
It is infinite, but it could be redirected.
Yeah, to I don't
that actually produces.
I don't buy into that. I'm not worried about them taking electricity. That's another.
Oh no, it's not about the electricity it's taking. They could. I'm saying like I believe in what you say. It's out there, but I'm saying they're putting all their effort into, you know, because we can't even explain what it is. So why are we putting our effort into it?
Yeah, well, it is.
Now, one thing I do want to, I should talk about is, and it's been brought up here, is there is a group of people that are suggesting that when you buy stocks now, you don't actually have that as an asset in the full proper sense anymore. I probably need to.
I thought that was like that because that's the whole point of happening in the 1929 crash. People were selling stuff that stocks that companies that weren't even there. It was like a dot-com bubble.
No, there is a. So there is. I need to get the full links on it, and I'll.
Yeah,
I'll
I've heard the story, Frank. I'm not worried about that either. So.
Okay, but it's just reasonable to let people know that there are people suggesting that when you buy shares, if there is a
it's held in a trust, you don't really have access to become an owner, but someone's holding it in trust for you. And if we follow down that rabbit hole, then nobody owns anything and we should just all give up and kill ourselves. So I'm not worried about it. I think it's just another bit of fear porn. I wouldn't worry about it if
so that's a great reason to raise it if that's your view. Yeah. And and I think if we apply the auto hoax principles fully, you would say that probably is just another bit of fear porn.
It is fear porn, and just to scare you from owning shares. Well, they make out like bandits while they collect all your dividends. Yep. From your Walmart purchases. Okay, Icon Enterprises is a company owned by Carl Icahn. So if you want to invest in what he invests in, you can directly buy his shares. But you really got to look into this. I just find this really fun. And
so in my case, I invested in my own company, really, is what I invested in something that,
okay,
among other things, of course. But
yeah,
my view was, okay, let's do something for me.
Mm-hmm.
Which has worked out very well, but it's the same principle. You don't hang around. Use your knowledge.
Yeah.
And instead of spending your time worried about ears of potentially presidents, you can you can do a lot more stuff with your time. Yeah.
Look, Papa John's Pizza pays 4.18%. There you go.
But what you said about that stock thing, about how you could own a stock you might not own it.
So this is what there is a group of people. I'll have to find the link. So I apologize for.
What do you think about the precious metal markets? Because I think a week ago there was a.
I think precious metals should be held physically by yourself.
That's what I'm saying. Like this,
and let gold, me know where you this, bury this it.
You don't need to bury it. You know, it's not that.
This retirement gold holding thing, it went bankrupt because it didn't. It wasn't using the retirement. Like they just took the money and ran. And that's what I'm saying with this. Going back to the whole crypto mining thing. Like in order to have all that technology, in order to do all that, the servers and everything. You know, it's still takes like pounds and pounds of copper, silver, and gold.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think if you
and by the way, none of this is investment advice. I am not
none of this is investment,
any investment advice at all. You do whatever the hell you want. I'm just telling you, take your money.
No, I'm not an investor. I'm just talking about like resources.
No, and,
like,
I'm telling everyone listening, not just you.
Oh,
invest your time and do your own research. Use the computer for what it was made for. Instead of being afraid of everything, look at this vast wealth of information that I don't know if it's free, but it's pretty damn close. It's close.
Well, it's certainly more timely and more accessible than it has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you say, if you're not distracted by stupidity, you can really do amazing things with these tools.
This website's $20 a month. To get a whole bunch of access. And I'm sure there's hundreds of websites like this. So anyway, it's just something for everyone to think about. Jay, thanks for calling in. I'm going to change the topics right now. And we're going to talk.
Thank you, Fakeologist. Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling in. And make sure you spread the word, Fakeologist.com. We're not just media fakery experts. We do like to talk about other things that real people can actually use. So
you talk about stuff that makes the mind start going, you know, people that gets them thinking, you know, even if whatever they're thinking, they still think, you know, and that's all you could ask for. Let people think, give them something to think about.
Yeah. And I really appreciate your call because I really want to start maybe trending towards a call-in show where people like you just call in and shoot the breeze and pick our brains and people like
I enjoyed it.
People like hearing new voices. They do get bored of the old voices because everyone knows my opinion on this and that. So it does get boring to repeat it. And so it must be really boring to hear it. So yeah, I'm gonna start trending towards a call-in show. So I'm glad you found the number. And hopefully more people like you call in. So thanks a lot, man.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Take care. Yeah. Have a good night.
All right. You too. Bye. There goes Jay in Texas. He called the number. The other topic I wanted to bring up, Frank, is our pod children. I was listening to our pod children and their network.
Yeah. I listened to the first show just before you and I have got together.
Yeah. So I'm going to plug it. This is by Velocet. He was with... He helped the Fakeologist site quite a bit. And then, of course, he went and took off and got married and now is doing his own thing. So he's sort of duplicating a lot of the things we're doing. at Fakeologist, and Rick, if you like Rick and Rollo and Noise Level, they have moved a lot of their operations over here because they say I stifle them in many ways by implying that I don't want to hear about things like chemtrails and boiling vinegar on your front stoop to keep chemtrails at bay and Mandela effect. There are certain things I don't like talking about, but I haven't really told them they could not talk about it, but they seem to think that that's what I'm doing. So they're over here at this website here, truthmeets.com. I am promoting it because I do like everyone on the site. And I did put a post to a couple of the shows that I listen to over here on my blog, fakeologist.blog. And you can click on these links that bring you to podcastaddict.com, which is my podcast player for Android. If you want to find them on Apple, I don't know if you can find them there, but at least you have all the names of the shows and the feeds. You can find it yourself. So I did want to plug that. And you've listened to it yourself, you said?
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought the first show I listened to was great. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, they're fun guys.
I obviously have a lot in common with Rick, especially with regard to demon possession and those ideas.
Yeah. Well, you might do a show over there.
Yeah, I could do How to Take Care of Your Penis.
Yeah, I'd listen to that.
Yeah.
Hey, the more the merrier. That's the way I look at things. And I'm happy that Velocet's kicking it off over there. I did enjoy him helping me for the few times he did help me, because it is a lot of work to maintain a network. So yeah. I do you think it's okay that I call this my Pod Child's network? Would you say?
Think it's okay, but you know, I'm.
would you say that they're Pod Children? A lot of Pod Children over the years.
I would have said yes. Of course, I would have said that. I mean,
okay, good.
It's a look. This style of thinking,
yeah.
I'm just going to repeat my own views here. I think it's very interesting that if you look at how you really operate compared to what you say you think, it's vastly different. And I'm talking about, in my case, I still am a practicing mining engineer, and you know, at a very senior level, and it never occurred to me that I always assumed the earth was flat, for example, until I came into contact with this particular arena through Marcus Allen.
Right. Yeah, you got into this in 2013, I believe.
Yeah, that sort of time, yeah. And I got there because I realized, you know, the reason I started looking at this was simply because I realized that people were telling me that salt was bad for me. I'm working in the salt industry, selling huge volumes of salt for animal husbandry. And so that was my first, I guess, real indication that, you know, our world isn't benign, that there are threats out there. And what are the threats? The threats are deception.
Right.
And I think that anyone that highlights that the threat is deception, there are no nuclear bombs, there are no viruses, there are no there just isn't anything, is there?
There's not a lot out there that can hurt
you. Yeah. And they convince you, they even convince you that you have to take treatments. That's not even true either. Or they convince you that you have to turn up for a court hearing. That's not true. It's really interesting how satisfying for me these concepts have been. And, you know, we don't have to agree with everyone. It's not required. But just realizing that you could be wrong about what you think, that's a powerful, helpful step. You know, everything that you assume or that you are taught, I think it's safe to say that that is going to be wrong.
Yes.
And, you know, kick out and start again. It's a much more enjoyable way to live as far as I'm concerned. And has been for me. You know, literally my wife and children have started talking to me again.
Awesome.
It's amazing. Just amazing.
Okay, I was just going through the blog a bit and I found a few dead links. I was just going to show some old links that we were talking about a few years ago before COVID's really kicked off, but it's not working, so I can't show it to you. Oh, we've been going about an hour and we had a really great call from Jay tonight.
I probably need to do a hard stop because we have started a bit late.
We did start. I apologize. I had a few things to do, but...
I'm away for the next 2 weeks, so I hope you'll find someone to fill in the spot because I think people enjoy having a regular time.
No, I do, and I'll probably just open up the phones and talk to people like Jay and anyone else who wants to slide in. If you want to be a guest on the Fakeologist show, we take regular people that just discover the website for sure. We don't have to be an expert, and oh, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I wanted to get Denny Rancour on my show because he's...
That'd be great. I'd love that.
Yeah, but I wanted you to be on at the same time. So
yeah,
now,
no, I would love to be on at the same time.
Yeah, because he's right up your graphing.
I guess I have a view of my graphing that it's compelling. You know, it's not a very complicated issue for me because of the you know, I guess I have almost an inflated view of those graphs that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they're so simple, but in my opinion, so clear cut, unambiguous demonstration that jabbing has caused a problem.
Yeah. And he's definitely made temporal correlation between the vaccines and the excess deaths. And that's what he does. So I wanted you to be on the show. I'm going to try and contact him again. I can't remember if I did contact him, but maybe he didn't get the message. Email.
He has been on before, hasn't he? Didn't he come on?
No, he's never been on. But I did put his video with Germ on Facebook.
Okay. Yeah.
And really, these guys all have platforms and voices, and they do interviews. They don't really need to come on my show. I'm not sure I'd ask anything else that they haven't already answered. But this guy really gets it. The only thing I think he's off about is the whole Gaza conflict. So I sent him a tweet to go look at Phil's material. If he really thinks that Gaza is really a genocide, that's one thing I find is a weak spot about so many truthers. Like they think many things are fake, but some of the big ones they just can't get past. So maybe he even thinks nuclear bombs are real and they just promote it. So they still are pushing fear, but they're good in other areas. So I really think there's a disconnect. If you can't see that, if one big lie is possible like COVID's, why can't you see another big lie just as easily? I think it's a no-brainer. What do you think?
Well, I guess the one thing I still am a bit with Rick about, you know, things like
Rick.
Yeah, nobody got killed in World War II.
Yeah.
It might be true, but it's very difficult for me to fully swallow that one. So I acknowledge, Dave J, that I am not entirely on board with that. And I say that simply because I'm not entirely convinced that no one's been hurt by the jabs. In fact, they're quite the reverse. I think it's fairly clear people have been hurt. And so if that's the case, why wouldn't people have been hurt in World War II?
Right. But not necessarily by the enemy that we're told, but by all the things that go on in the exercise that we call war. So Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that.
And that's really, but it's a very healthy debate, and I congratulate Dave J for bringing that level of intellect to the debate. You know, he really gets you to step up to the plate intellectually, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's he makes an extreme point of view that many people are offended by, and that's kind of why I like it. So I like being offended and challenged, and I'm not afraid of free speech, even if it's distasteful to many, many, many people. Yeah. I think we are all big people. We can all take it. So, yeah. All right, Frank, well, have a great holiday. Are you going anywhere?
Thank you. Yeah, we're going up to a place. To Queensland.
You're going to maybe see Rick. Oh, it's warmer up there too at this time of year. You go north to get warm.
It's beautiful. But I'm hoping that between now and on the way back, there's a big rain event, that because I also booked in to go skiing in the last end of the season. So up in the very highest mountains of Australia. So I'm hoping to get another flurry of snow before then.
Hard to believe there's snow in Australia, but it's true.
It's a huge area of snowfields here. I think the area under the snow line here is as big as Europe.
Awesome. Well, pretty good show tonight. Pretty good turnout on Twitter.
I really enjoyed it, I must say. I enjoyed it. So thanks for calling in. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the caller. And thanks for everyone on Twitter. It says 33 people on X or Twitter. Only one person on DLive. I think we'll have to cut DLive off. It doesn't seem to be worth it. And Fakeologist YouTube channel has 26 people. And we have about... how many we got on FakoTube? Only has 16. And on the stream, on the audio stream, there's only about 6 people. So that's still a pretty good crowd for a hacker talk show host.
I really appreciate what you do, Tim. Thank you.
I appreciate you, Frank. Thanks for being a regular. Because if it wasn't for the regular guests, I probably wouldn't be as compelled to sit behind the mic. I would just fool around on dividendstocks.com or something. So, and everyone should do that too.
You need a balanced life. All right.
Take care. All right. All the best, Frank. Take care. And don't forget, this value for value. If you like this show, send some value back. It's the only fair way. Even if it's a dollar, a coffee, a cup of coffee, send your dividend that you get from your favorite share that you bought, thanks to my inspiration to investigate investing your own money and not giving it to someone else to do. Use your own research and your own brain. And send some value back to Fakeologist. Okay, it's the end of the week already here on the Ides of August. And we'll be back on the audio chat on the weekend with somebody. Somebody will show up. And make sure you join in and participate. You go to shortfake.com/Discord. Go there and have a chat. And that's where I'll be on the weekend. And otherwise, I don't really have any guests planned in the next couple days. It's still summer as far as I'm concerned. So I'm still trying to enjoy what's left of it as we close out August. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Have a good night.